Welcome, everybody. Hello, as you get in here, I just want to introduce myself just a little bit. I am Coach Lisa, and I'm going to be here with you for the next hour. And this is our monthly body image and sex call, body image and intimacy. That is what we're here for. I'm going to open up the chat. Hello from Connecticut. Let me know where you're from that you can, sounds like you can hear me okay. And hello, Louise. It's nice to see you here. It's so good to see so many of you that come out to this call every month. I know it means a lot to you and it means a lot to me as well that you do that. So, and great to see some new faces as well. Remember when you're in the chat, set your chat to everyone rather than hosts and panelists, so that everyone can see it. I'll kind of keep an eye on the chat, but if you get chatty in there, I may not be able to. So this is an open coaching call, which means you can raise your hand, you can come on up, and we will coach on anything related to body image, sex, intimacy. If you've been to my calls before, you know that I am very open. This is a safe space. We want this to be a safe space for all of you to feel comfortable getting on here and talking about things. If you would like to ask a question and you don't necessarily want to get on camera, you can post that in the Q&A. There's a Q&A box, and I will make sure that I check those and answer all of those. But it would be great to see someone raise their hand and get some coaching. So remember that. And like I say, it's a safe space. So it does take a certain level of bravery, but everybody always appreciates it when somebody does. So while you guys think about that, that's hello, everybody. Audrey, you still have your set to host and panelists, but that's okay. And hello from Australia. So great to see you from Australia. I guess it's morning, so good morning to you. And again, don't forget to set your chat to everyone rather than host and panelists. Hello, Bernadette. It's so nice to see you as well. So many familiar faces. I don't know if everybody has heard or not, but there is going to be a camp next year. Fingers crossed, as far as we know. They're talking about doing it in Dallas. It's so exciting. But that's where I know a lot of you from, is from seeing you at the Nobius event. So I'm very excited that we're going to have one since we didn't have one this year at all. So, all right. I don't have any hands raised yet, but I do have a topic that came up in some coaching I was doing that I really kind of wanted to talk about with everybody because it is that time of year. So it is. Summer is here. Well, except I should qualify. Maybe not for those of you in Australia who it's starting to get cold for. I do know that. But over here on this side of the world, it is summer. And when we talk about body image and summertime, what I hear from a lot of people is it's bringing up this desire to hide, right? When we have concerns about our body, it can bring us to this place where we're like, I don't feel desirable in my body. And we end up tying that to how you show up in your life. It can hold you back. And your brain will start to tell you, like I said, that you want to hide. So I don't want you doing that this year. I want you living fully through the summer. And I want you to, that's the work of a Nobius woman, right? So I want you to think about this. I'm going to just sort of talk through it. And again, if anybody wants to raise their hand to be coached, they can, or ask questions in the Q&A, you can, about anything related to body image and sex. But the way I see it, it ends up that it gets warm outside, and here we are. We go into our closets, or you go through your drawers, you pull out the things from last year, and you're thinking, you can't wear that. Nobody wants to see you in that. You got it telling you to cover up. Hide your arms, hide those thighs. You look gross. That same voice can also show up in the bedroom. if you catch your reflection, maybe when you're naked, or you see online pictures and stuff like that of other women, what happens is we shrink. We end up covering up. We end up canceling plans. We end up deciding that our body has to change somehow before we can actually enjoy our life. That sucks, right? That's not how we want to be living our lives. I don't want you putting on a bathing suit this year and then trying to find a cover up. That what I was talking to the client about was that it is incredible to me in these stores and stuff, those cover ups are becoming more and more just part of the package when you buy a bathing suit, right? They're made of swim material, so you don't even have to take them off. You can hide the whole time. And yeah, we can do that, but is that really what you want to do? So I want all of you to think about how you want to live authentically this year. Because the truth is, it's like you're never going to be able to hate yourself or hate your body and feel confident. It's not going to happen in the bedroom. It's not going to happen when you're wearing that swimsuit, and it's not going to happen in that day-to-day life. Confidence does not come from hate. So another piece is desire. Desire, whether it's sexual or emotional or what, you know, just desire for connection, that's also not going to grow in a body that you're constantly hiding. So often what our brains say is, well, once we get better, then we don't have to hide anymore. But that's just not going to be the way it happens. Once you change, your brain hasn't changed. Your body has changed, but your thinking hasn't. You think all of a sudden, I'm going to look at my body and I'm going to love it. And we just know that's not the truth. So, the way you're going to start building confidence is by choosing to show up now, even when it's awkward, even when it's uncomfortable. But you're going to decide that maybe I'm worthy of that. Maybe I can start that today. That's one way to reframe some of the sentences if we're not quite there yet, is, well, what could I do today? What can I do right now? What am I willing to be open to thinking? So I want you to think about these questions. I have some questions I want to ask. And I would love for you to answer some of these in the chat. Yeah. Thank you, Alicia. Alicia says, like, you took all that right from my brain. I'm so glad you're on this call because sometimes even just acknowledging that we have these thoughts can really help us kind of burst that bubble of them holding the power. Because the truth is, you hold the power in what you get to choose to think about and work on and how you're going to show up. Audrey mentions that she's deciding to go to a dance class tomorrow, sleeveless. Good for you, Audrey. And why not? Right? We want to think about what are we holding ourselves back from? But the first question I want you to think, answer for me in the chat, if you will, is what part of your body are you most afraid to let be seen? What is it for you guys? And it can be for any reason. Someone says their arms, they haven't worn a t-shirt, thighs, extra skin after you lose the weight, your tummy, yes. One of them for me is this shoulder. And I have this top, and I mean, I've probably worn this top on other coaching calls, but it took me a while to wear this top. You can't really see it. I have a really nasty scar, really nasty scar right there on that shoulder. When I got this top, I panicked. I was like, oh my God, I loved it. But look, it like totally frames that scar. And then I had to remember that nobody cares. Not one of you came on this call and made a comment, oh my God, Lisa, really? Do you have that scar on your shoulder? Nobody, because nobody else cared, because you're all there sitting at home thinking about your arms, your tummy, your thighs, the loose skin, legs. Boobs. Yeah. Legs. So much damage. Yeah. You don't even notice it, right? Nobody, you didn't even notice my scar. But to me, it's like this like alarm going off over there. It always has, like it has been. And I have big long stories about it, but like I've just worked to say doesn't actually, it's okay. It's okay that it can bother me, because otherwise, you know what this top makes me feel like? An obese woman. Totally. I feel like empowered. I'm, you know, this is totally something Corinne would wear with cutouts and stuff. It's like fun. Louise says, thanks to no BS, I'm comfortable in my body and I don't care what others think. I haven't bathing suits I bought that are pretty and I feel great when I wear them. Amazing. That's what I want for all of you. And, you know, if you're not there yet, that's okay. Like, this is, that's why you're here and that's why we're going to do this work. So, some of you already answered my next question. Brianna says, this summer I'm super confident to wear bathing suits and whatever I want thanks to these calls. That's amazing, Brianna. It's my spouse who needs to listen to this for his self-confidence as it's killing our intimacy. Yeah, 100%. There's no reason you can't let him listen to the replays of this type of thing if you want, right? It's sometimes we can lead people by example and we can influence them because we show them an example of what's possible. But as we know, it doesn't matter how much someone else tells you it's fine. That's not what's going to change what's inside your head. It's not going to quiet down the doubt and the discomfort over what you think about your body. Sandra said, I'm trying to teach myself that my body tells a story. It doesn't always come out as nice as it should, but it's a process. 100%, Sandra. Yes, all of our bodies are telling a story. Every part of your body is telling you it's a story and is just representative of the life that you have lived. And we can feel shameful of that, or we can fucking love it. And that's, again, what I want more of you. More for all of you. So the next part, the next question I had for you is, what is your brain saying you can't do because of these body parts that you're not happy with? You know, and we've talked about the swimsuit thing. We've talked about the, you know, outfits you'd wear to a dance class. Like in the past, that sounds like something wouldn't have gone sleeveless and probably been super fucking hot at a dance class. Jen says, wear the cute clothes in general. Absolutely. Yeah. So our brain is telling us we can't do something like that because of the way our bodies look. Swimsuits are my biggest issue. Wear crop tops. Wear short shorts and swimsuits around people I know. Tank tops. Yeah. There's certain things that it's telling you you can't do, which is just bullshit. Who decided? Who decided that? Right? Well, there was art. It was, I don't know, now I'm gonna sound silly. There was the somebody you'll know in the chat here. Who was the artist that did all the figures of the women, that very full-sized women? Matisse, maybe. Yeah, so no, Renoir. Feel like it starts with a B. Anyways, doesn't matter. But like, there's been periods of time in history where the size and shape Botticelli, that's it. Mary, thank you so much for answering our question. That's what I'm sure that's what it is. I thought it started with a B. But there was a time when like larger women, that was cherished, right? So these days, maybe on, you're seeing a lot more of it, I think, on TV and stuff like that. But again, it's not going to change what's inside your head until you decide to do it. So, all right, now you're getting chatty and I'm losing my spot in the chat. So, somebody said literally today, it's white shorts. I want some, but I'm really struggling with how I look in them, mostly because my legs are so white too. Well, that's interesting because you didn't even comment on the size of them. So, that one, I don't know. I would question that. You get to decide. You know what? I was, anybody who did coaching with me today knows I was wearing a different top earlier, and I changed it because it's a light pink color, and I was like, you know what? That's not really like it's sort of like gets washed away when I'm on a coaching call. So I wanted to change. And then when I put this one on, I was like, oh, my shoulder. And I'm like, oh, this totally ties into the call. So you can totally choose. I don't want to wear white shorts because my legs are so white, but not if it's something along the lines of, I don't know, white makes me look heavier or something. Like you get to decide. Sue says the problem is photo images. I don't feel as big as the pictures tell me I am. Sue, I want you to remember pictures don't talk. They literally don't. None that I know of, anyways. It's what we think when we look at that photo. And a photo is just one moment in time. So, one, you can choose, look, I'm going to like stand at different angles when I take photos because that's not very flattering in to me. But two, you could also, I've talked to several women actually about wedding photos who have said the same thing. And what we talk about is look into the eyes of you at that day and remember what was going through your mind. Like what matters about the picture? And if it's a picture that doesn't matter, throw it away. It's like you literally can throw photos away. I know it's revolutionary, but you can throw photos away if you really don't like them. But it's not the photo. It's what you think about yourself in that photo. It's what you're deciding it looks like and what you're making it mean. And if you're focusing on body size, fine. But that's what's making you feel bad is because you're focusing on it that way. You literally could focus on it in any way that you want. So yeah, lots of talks about emotionally feeling good in your swimsuit. But then when others, so it's Shannon talks about that comparing. She said, I work hard to emotionally feel good in my swimsuit, but then when others that are thinner enter the picture, I feel ashamed. Yeah, so it's what are you making it mean? It's interesting, right? We don't make it mean, oh, they are way too skinny. What's going on? These people need to eat. We decide that we're the problem, that we have something to be ashamed about, and we're only measuring one thing in our lives at that exact moment, our body size. You're not measuring your self-worth. You're not measuring what a nice person you are, whether these people are nice or not. Like you're not measuring anything else except for your size. And we're making that matter more than anything else. So that does lead me to the next question I'd love some answers for is what would it look like to let yourself have the joy anyways? So one person said they're wearing short. I only wear shorts and stretch pants when I'm hanging around home. I've started to wear my stretchy pants to the beach recently. Yeah, a lot of thoughts and feelings about what we're wearing. Somebody said the photo goes in my family's photo book. Again, why is that a problem? What is the photo of? Yes, I don't want you throwing away photos of your family that you want to keep, but I want you to think about what it's actually representing. Is it supposed to be a representation of everybody's body size, you know, and think about it. That starts when children are little. What do? We measure them. We measure them on what we see, how tall they're getting. The first thing everybody comments on is, oh, how much bigger you are. And that's really sweet and cute when people are children. But then as we get older, that starts to hit us a different way, right? So why do you keep doing that to yourself? That's what you want to think about. It makes sense where it started from. But now we realize it's robbing us of all this joy. So Louise says, it gives me joy to not worry about what I'm wearing because no one else cares. You are 100% right. Nobody else cares. Nobody else cared about my scar. You know how much it bothered me before? But nobody cares about it. So then the last question I have here for this is, who would you be if you didn't have to change for you to feel beautiful? Who would you be? And it sounds, Louise, like you were saying, you are now a person who experiences a lot of joy because you don't worry about what you're wearing. Louise says, I would be a badass. Yeah. But that's who you've become because you've changed those thoughts and feelings. So there's the work for everybody is I want you to think about who you would be if your body didn't have to change for you to feel beautiful. So, ladies, we really want to start learning to desire yourself. I don't want you faking it. I don't want you making shit up. I don't want you lying to yourself. But it does mean that we accept I'm going to maybe have some thoughts and feelings, but I'm going to put the damn swimsuit on. And I'm going to remind myself maybe it's okay. It's the situation where you take the walk anyways, even if it, you feel uncomfortable a bit. Maybe you let your partner see your body. Maybe you start by doing it like under the covers or something like that. Yes, I'll post, I typed it out, so I'll post the questions here for you. Somebody asked in the chat for me to post the questions and so the first one is, what part of your body are you most afraid to let be seen? I am posting these in the chat so that you can see them. There you go. What is your brain saying you can't do because of that? What would it look like to let yourself have joy anyways? And who would you be if your body didn't have to change for you to feel beautiful? So, again, how you start acting like a woman who's learning to desire herself. You're going to put the stuff on. You're going to maybe explore letting your partner see or going out in some form of public different ways. And remind yourself that this is you. This is just you, and this is you showing up for life. That's how you build the confidence. Honestly, that's how you build the confidence. So the last question I have, and then we do have a hand raised for coaching that I will post this question in the chat as well, is what is one way that you are prepared to let your body be seen this summer without apology, without hiding, and without waiting for it to be different? I want you to think about that. Amy in the chat said, unfortunately, in today's society, tons of people judge. Absolutely, they do. And are you going to let other people be in charge of how you get to feel? And not even just feel, but what you get to do, where you get to go, how you get to feel in it, like in your own body? That's the choice we get to make. Yes, we could all just shrink and hide because because people are judgy. What if we just let them be judgy? Most of them aren't actually saying anything. Like, let's be clear. Nobody is actually saying it to your face. And if they did, I would just be very curious and sort of, maybe taken aback for a moment, but think about how you would answer them. What if you said, wow, that is so rude. I can't believe you said that. We think we have to defend ourselves. You don't need to defend yourself because if somebody is being judgy and says judgy things, that's about them. And you can let it be about them, and you can create an answer that's again about them. They're saying it. Let your answer match it. That is about them. And like, seriously, how rude. So Tammy says, I have a pretty hideous bunion and people actually do frequently comment on it. What's wrong with your foot? Does that hurt? But you're going to wear the flip-flops. Yeah, let them comment. Let them comment and you could answer them the way I said, wow, that's pretty rude. You could just factually answer it. Does it hurt? I don't know. Does it? Yes, no. No, it's just the way I was made. Or yeah, it hurts like hell. And do you have Tylenol? Like, I don't know. Like, what's the point of you asking this question? I'm not sure. Like, you could literally say that to them. Are you a foot doctor? Like, are you wondering? She says, I think I will make up a hellacious story. I love it. I was stepped on by a horse and when I was stealing it. Yes, beautiful. Like, have some fun with this. Prepare yourself. What's the worst someone could say? And if I let that be about them, how would I answer it? Because that's the control that you have. You don't have to shrink because they're thinking you should. Screw that. That's on them. All right, ladies, you got me all fired up here. So, Sue, I am going to promote you to panelist. Come on up. We do have a question in the Q&A, but okay, I will answer that as soon as we're done. Oh, there you are. Hi, Sue.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, well, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
So, good for you.
Okay, my statement was about the photo image. Now, this particular one that I'm thinking about is I had been feeling pretty good. I had felt less inflamed, and like my inflammation has gone down and everything. And my sister was walking in front of me, and she was doing one of these sneaky little pictures. And when I had seen her, I was like, okay, you're always taking these cute pictures of you. And then I seen who she was taking a picture of me, and I just wanted to freaking die. Because it no way matched how I was feeling. So then it's like I am so screwed up in my head to what how I feel to what I know others are seeing. And I
Hold on 1 minute. You saw the photo that way. It is literally impossible for every single person in the world to look at the photo and see the same thing that you saw, because you saw it with your brain.
Okay.
Tell me what you saw.
Having my slacks on,
Yeah.
and then feeling like these are looser than they had been, and I'm feeling a little bit leaner and everything, but yet in the picture you could see where I'm wearing my under, I don't know. My underliners. And it's like, okay, everybody can see this line going around, you know, because it's
I mean,
not
like
just
your underwear.
not my underwear, but my the long
Were you wearing like a flattening kind of thing, like a Banksy kind of like something? Okay.
I can't think of what they are right now. Like
Okay.
bike shorts that you would wear like underneath, you know, to tuck in and everything. And it's like you can see everything where, and it's like, okay, now if I can see that, I know everybody else is seeing that too. But
So what are
I'm
you
not.
making it mean?
That how I am feeling, how I was feeling at that moment, it just wasn't real. It wasn't real to what actually was happening in the moment.
First,
I'm tricking my own brain. I'm playing fantasy in my own brain. I don't know how to think this out,
I
that
want
any
to
of this
honor
is
that.
honest.
I know. I want to honor that you're sharing this with us because it means so much to me that you would come up here and share this with us. I also want to say bullshit. Like, honestly, you were feeling a certain way. A picture doesn't disqualify your how you were feeling. You looked at the photo, then you had another thought, and that thought contradicted what was going on in your head. It did not change reality, though. It didn't make it a lie. Your feelings aren't a lie. Even if they're shitty feelings, they're not a lie. I 100% get it. I've done this work myself on looking at vacation photos where I felt great. And then I'm like, oh my God, how did I feel so good? But it doesn't change that I did. It can just have a second guess, like, should I have? The answer is yes, you should have felt great. You were enjoying a time with your sister.
I feel like I feel great until I see the reality of what, even if it's not coming from anybody else's eyes, it still is different than what my mind is telling me. I can't coordinate the two.
But you're deciding that the way you think when you look at the photo, that that's the reality. What if you're wrong? What if the reality is actually, because let's think about it. You know how I know the reality is actually what was in your mind and how you were living your life up until you saw the photo? Is because of that. Because you were living your life, you were walking along, you were enjoying yourself. Then a photo was taken. And then you just looked at it, you had a thought and decided, oh, now this is reality.
Okay, so I had done a Q&A the other day, and I don't know if you remember, I had said, that I was frustrated, that I had, and you asked me what I was frustrated about the other day. We're on a call with Kathy, and the thing is, I have been working so hard, putting forth the effort, doing so many changes, little baby steps, scooches, big changes, little changes. Since I've joined No BS, I have implemented, so I'm so far from where I used to be, binging and eating sugar, and I don't do sugar, I don't do this, I don't do that. And it's like I have done all of this. And I am down some. It stalls out for a long time, then it'll go a little bit less, and then it'll stall out for a long time. This is where the frustrating part comes in. But I am not hurting myself the way I was before, because I have been working through all of these emotions and that stuff. And the scale isn't moving, the clothes size. When I'm not inflamed, I feel thinner. And then if I have some sugar, or not sugar, if I have some salt, or if I have anything like that, all of a sudden my body goes out of control in that little bit. I know when the scale scooches up, that's not fat. I know it's water that my body is holding in that kind of stuff. And I was talking to my son today. I says, can you imagine if I did not work at what I'm wearing? I'm right here at 290. 290, 290. My high was 305. It's taken me forever, and I can't seem to get down. I was down here for a little bit, got back up there, and now I'm like stuck here. So when I see that picture and I see that scale and I have these feelings that I'm having a good day and feeling, they don't match up. They don't match up. And it's like all this effort I put in. It's like, why are
So
you
the
conning yourself, Sue? Why are you doing? They say you stop sugar, you stop pop, you're gonna lose all this weight. That's
the reason
the
you do
bullshit to
it,
it.
no, the reason you do it is for the feeling you had before the photo, is for how you felt before we let judgment, when we looked at the photo, step in and try to change our reality. The reality is how you feel, and you're creating that by all the things you're thinking. The rest of it is weight loss is data. That the rest of it is data driven that you can think about. Like, we can talk about data, we can talk about weight loss. I will give you an experiment that I want you to try as far as that goes. But yeah, you know yourself really well. Certain things create the inflammation. You know that about yourself.
I am learning. I'm in the process of learning like never before.
Yeah.
And you know,
So,
the thing is, I've had this weight my whole entire life. And there was periods where I was thinner and I had lost and you know, improperly and everything, you know, starvation or whatever, and I lost and done all these this weight loss unhealthy. And now I'm trying to do it healthy. You know, I'm up here in my 60s.
Taking care of
late
yourself.
later 60s, yeah.
So,
And
which feeling would you like to carry forward with? The one before you looked at the photo or the one after you looked at the photo?
honestly, the one before.
Okay.
But it, to me, that
But
it just doesn't feel real.
because you're telling yourself maybe it's not real. When I look
When
at
I,
this photo, you have a thought.
look down at me, I can see my feeling is not real.
Which feeling? The feeling good feeling?
Yeah, it's, you know, I feel like I'm just playing a con on my own mind. And the other is the truth.
When it comes to feelings, they're created by what we tell ourselves. They literally are a con in your mind. That's one way to put it. They are. Because what we think about creates how we feel. And you know that very well because you've told me that. You're like, when I think about it this way, I feel this way. When I think about it that way, I feel a different way.
Yeah.
When you look down at yourself, you have a thought. But you're creating it all.
And I agree
So,
with that, and I understand that, and you're absolutely right. And I do get this, you know, I never did thought work before, no BS, and I
me neither.
never understood that I am such an emotional person before no BS. And to be able to now look at all of this and try to figure this out. You know, I'm not spinning anymore. And maybe this is part of it. You know, it's because I'm looking at all this stuff individually. And I mean, I'm working on the relationships and I'm working on self-love and I'm working on, you know, my own confidence and I'm working on my own,
So
you
it makes
know.
sense, though, right? So it makes sense that every once in a while, something's going to come up that's going to have us go, wait, what the fuck? What? Wait. And it can have us questioning things, and that's normal. It's very, very normal. And the idea of thought work is not to just feel happy every day and just, you can think your way out of everything. No, sometimes we're going to have shitty things going on. We're going to think shitty thoughts. It's you get to decide how long am I staying there? Is this required? Is this helpful? Somebody dies, I expect you to do some grieving. I don't expect you to go, oh, you know what? I know this thought work thing. I don't need to feel like shit.
Right.
That's not the way it works. So, yeah, it makes sense. What I see here from you, though, is some bravery in being able to say the thoughts and feelings out loud and face them. And I think that's why you got emotional because we're seeing some of it, and that's so normal. But then we go, okay, what do I actually want to focus on? Like, which version of me is actually going to be able to figure out how to take the next steps forward and
You
get
know,
through the stall?
I have a natural tendency of stepping forward and trying to do, no, my natural tendency is to step back and hide away and to not be want to be with anyone, be anywhere, you know, just I don't want to judge. I don't want to judge. I don't want to be judged. I just want, you know, like the world to go away. And then it's like, because I know I'm an introvert, but then I do have this part that I do want to be more outward and
Okay.
but then I got all of this going on with my body, with all my emotions, with all my thoughts, with all, and it's like I just feel, and I know I'm not broken. I mean, I've gone through all this. I know it's not brokenness. I know it's not any of that. I've done so much work to work on all of this and get this all in place, but I still can feel so screwed up. And it's like, oh God.
So I want you to think about that a little bit. What is the actual feeling? You're saying, I'm screwed up. What is the actual feeling you're feeling when you say that to yourself?
I don't know. Maybe that is the I'm not enough kind of a statement. I don't know. Or I don't match up, or I'm not equal. Less than.
Yeah. And when you feel less than, how are you showing up for yourself? That sounds to me like that's when that judgment comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it starts with you saying, I'm so screwed up. That's the sentence we're kind of making up here. It's the thing that's making you feel less than because you're believing that somehow maybe it's true. What evidence do you have to the contrary? How about that? Or what evidence do you have for it? Like, I want you to really think about that.
The thing is, this is a roller coaster that I feel like I'm on, because I'll go and I'll have that those times where I feel like I can step out and I'm feeling good and I can do all this, and all of a sudden I'll go down on that slide and this will happen again, and it's like, why am I conning myself? And then I'll go back up and it's like, I mean, I'm drinking more water, I'm eating it, and I'm engaged in what I'm doing, and it's like, okay, you're all on it, and then all of a sudden there'll go that thing again, and like I told my son today, I said, can you even imagine where I'd be if this is me putting forth effort and I'm still here? I mean, I'm still at this weight, I'm still at the size, I'm still trying so hard. And I'm in this struggle. This is where the frustration comes in. It's like, why isn't this given it to me when I have, and I'm turning this over and I'm changing and I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that and I'm not, it's exhausting is what it is.
What I would really love to see for you to do is to try to pull the two apart. You're doing a ton of thought work and of thinking and of talking to yourself differently, and you're seeing it. Like you're seeing it so much that you're like, I know these things, I can catch it. You're seeing it, that's great. I want that to be separate from I get up, I write my plan, I figure out what I'm going to eat for the day. I figure out what I might, when I'm going to get my water in. I figure out where I'm going to experiment with doable hunger today so that I can figure out how to lose the next couple of pounds here and keep going while this is running like parallel to it. I don't want this, the emotional stuff to like this month is all about that emotional eating,
Right,
right? We
right.
want to separate, noticing what emotions are trying to drive these actions we're taking over here. Deal with the emotions in one way. Then let's figure out what are the actions you're going to take, why, how are you going to set yourself up in that? That's action-based. We want to look at the feelings and how you're feeling, but we just don't want them in charge. When they're in charge of the next steps you take and whether or not food goes in your mouth, then I can see why you get frustrated, right? We're frustrated because these emotions go up and down. That's what they're going to do. That's life. I bet you most people on this call would say they have emotional ups and downs all the time, right? That's part of being a human being. What we want to do is we want to figure out, how do I get myself to do the things that create weight loss while sometimes I go through emotional stuff up and down and it doesn't get a say as much?
Well, I have to say that I'm so proud of myself for not doing the major overeating, and that I've pretty well have got that so much better under control than I
Yeah.
ever did, you know.
That's
And
huge.
it is huge. It's so huge. And this is where the frustration, and it's like, Sue, you're showing up for yourself. Sue, you're doing this. You're giving yourself the wins. You're giving yourself your credits. Why am I in such a place that I just like this?
What is the place you're in? Tell me. The weight, you mean?
The weight, the yeah.
Okay. Okay. So that's the stuff that we want everybody coming to us coaches with. This is what I've been doing. Why the hell isn't my weight going down? And then we will give you things to do. So, I mean, I'm going to give you things to do before we finish here. But the frustration is not helping you figure it out. That's why I say pull the frustration out of it. Once you pull the frustration out of it, it becomes a data issue. It's okay. What am I eating? When? How often am I eating? How much water am I getting? It becomes a data issue when we take the emotion out of it. So, where do you feel frustration when you feel it?
Oh, in my chest.
Yeah, what does it
In
feel
my
like?
chest. It's tight. Yeah,
Okay.
it's tight.
Is it
You
like
know.
heavy or is it like a ball? Like, how would I know?
For me, it gets tight and I get anxious. I get anxious feeling. You know, on
Where's
Cathay
that?
scale, I would be above.
Okay.
And that's where I generally am. Even, you know, I mean, I could drop to sad for a little bit and go down a little bit, but it's mostly.
So frustration and anxiety, they are different. I could see that if you're frustrated and don't want to be, and think it doesn't belong or it shouldn't be, we could start to get anxious because we're like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What I want you to try the next time you feel frustrated is I want you to hold it like you would a baby in your arms and be like, and I want you to breathe and I want you to think about this tightness in your chest. And I want you to like breathe in and breathe out like you're trying to let get that air going through it.
I do. I do these things.
And does it shift?
These are my saving grace. These are the things that I do. I do tapping, I do breathing,
Oh, me too.
I do calming. You know,
Oh,
last
again,
night.
you could even do a gentle tapping on the side of your hand. Just go, I'm frustrated. Just frustrated. Because that scale's not moving. You could name it. Why are you frustrated? Frustrated because the scale's not moving. That'll help you stay out of anxiety about it, like not pile on. If you just acknowledge what the feeling is, and then go, okay, what is it I really need? Need to figure out how the fuck to get that damn scale to move. And then we do that. Then we go, okay, what could I try today that would be helpful? What could I do? One of the so what I was going to say is one of the projects that I have some of my private clients doing is photos. They take photos of what they're eating when they eat it. They take a photo of the plate after they eat it. And then they look at it and sort of look at their day's worth of food. And somehow just seeing it in a photo changes it from words on a paper. It can be really interesting. What do
Okay.
you think of that experiment?
I do take photos. I do send them to my friends and that kind of stuff. But, I mean, I keep all my food log and I'm watching everything that I'm doing.
What
But
does it tell you?
well, that was my question the other day, is that I was trying to figure out about calorie, the only about losing weight. And so then it's about calorie reduction. You gotta have less calorie, which is you gotta not
Right, I didn't think of
overeat.
that. No, follow doable hunger. That's the reason. The reason it doesn't work so well to follow calories is because some days your body needs more than other days. And
Oh,
if you are,
I'm sorry.
it's okay.
I am following. When my body tells me to eat, I eat. And when I now know my signals as far as
So, what is your signal that it's time to eat?
I might start getting a slight little headache that it is time. Like I am a late sleeper in the morning because I stay up later at night. So in the morning, I'll start with my meds and that, and then I'll have my coffee. And then I generally start my day's eating there about 11 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And I, start
And
my
then
day with just
later
some.
in the day, how do you know it's time to eat again?
Well, when I start having a little bit of a slight headache, or if I'm having a little bit of a growl in the stomach,
So how
or
much
something
water are you
like
drinking?
that,
How much water do you drink?
my water is probably about. I have these. I have a. These are 20 ounces, so this is about 4 of these that I had put down,
Okay.
throughout the whole day.
So the reason I ask is because a slight headache isn't usually the first sign of hunger. A headache to me sort of indicates like that either you're dehydrated or that something else is going, like a blood pressure issue or something like that is going on. Like it's not usually hunger that'll give us a headache. It's usually dehydration. Hunger would be like your stomach feels empty. There can be a growl, but I even get my clients to challenge a growl because for me, I've found most of the time if I drink water, that growl goes away. It wasn't actually hunger, it's usually asking for water. So I just want you to think about that over the next couple of days and look at for taking photos of your food, and then you look at them afterwards and say, okay,
Okay.
what does this look like to me? Where are some opportunities? And if you've got accountability partners, ask them to point it out. What opportunities did they see where you could experiment with how much you're eating? And that kind of thing is like whether you have two of something versus one. Start with one. Worst case, an hour later, you're going to eat the other one or you're going to have some more. But like those are the opportunities we want to look for in a day of just getting curious. But the thing is, it's hard to be open, to feel curious, to feel like, let's figure something out. Let's find out if we're stuck in frustration. So that's why I say I want you to acknowledge the frustration, give it a little love, and then ask it to sit for a moment because we're going to try to figure some shit out.
My goddaughter, she made me this cup, and I put everything on this cup. So this is my, I don't know if you can kind of see it, my Leo, and
Beautiful.
I've got my little
You've got this.
person,
I love it.
over here. I don't know if you can see her down here. There she
Yes.
is.
I love it.
So this is courage and the serenity prayer and everything, stay in. Stay in the joy of the doing. I've got all of this, here for my inspiration, and I have this always in front of me, my lion, one step at a time. And so I'm trying to keep myself inspired and keep myself moving.
Well, I appreciate you coming on today and sharing this with us because I think it's like a really good reminder of how body image thoughts and feelings can really carry over everywhere.
Well, thank you for taking so much time with me. And I do feel better. And it's not so much a headache as feeling lightheaded. That's probably better to say. When I start getting hungry, I just feel a little lightheaded in that. So, but it is happening in my head.
So what we're make sure what you're looking for is stomach stuff. It's your stomach that gets to speak up when it's hungry. Your brain gets to make shit up. It always does. We know that. Right? So I know.
Yes,
I
it
want to
does.
look for your stomach issues. Okay.
Okay.
All right. It was great
Thank you
to
so
meet
much, Lisa.
you. All
Thank you
right.
so much. All right.
Keep going.
Bye.
There we go. We only have a couple of minutes left. I got scared to buy new clothes is a question in the Q&A because I feel like I'll get comfortable in them and then not lose my weight. It sounds weird, but if I buy new clothes, I'll feel like I'll get bigger. Okay, so these are thoughts, anonymous. These are thoughts that you're having that if you buy new clothes, I just must be accepting myself at the weight I'm at. Again, what do we call that, everybody? It's bullshit. It doesn't mean that. It means you're treating yourself well. It means that you're dressing the body at the size that you have. That's all. Like you get to attach the meaning to it. And you don't have to go buy new clothes, but if you do want to buy some new clothes, you get to attach whatever meaning you want to it. Okay. So I want you to remember that and think, what meaning do I want to attach to this? Maybe I wouldn't suggest you go buy like thousands of dollars worth of clothes while you're on a weight loss journey and losing weight because they may not fit well in another month or two. But the idea that it will mean you'll just get complacent and you'll be fine with, well, I guess I'll just stay this way. No, that's not true. Otherwise, everybody who's lost weight and bought new clothes at that size would have stayed that size because if what you're saying is true, that well, we'll just stay here. That's not true either, right? Lots of people gain weight again after they've lost it and they have all these smaller size clothes. So, Patty, you have your hand up. So I am going to call you up and let's see if we can chat somewhat quickly. Did you want to come up or did you not want to come up? Maybe Patty didn't actually need to have her hand up. Oh, you declined. Okay. So Patty didn't need to have her hand up. That's fine. Was there any last thoughts? Sue, you're so welcome. It's so great for you to raise your hand. We really appreciate that. Someone else in the chat said, I just bought new bras and underwear. We can always use new ones and it doesn't cost too much. Yeah. And again, the idea that if we buy clothes, it means we're going to stay that size. I mean, that would be a great in theory, wouldn't it? We'd be able to buy smaller clothes and know, okay, we're never going to change size from that. And that's just not what happens. The reason we change size one way or the other is because of what we're thinking in our mind and because of what we're doing as we eat. There's no other questions. Lots of love for you, Sue, in the chat. Christy also said, I even say it out loud. I say what I'm feeling. It makes such a big difference. It looks like Jen said, I've been buying clothes at thrift stores, so I won't feel guilty. See, so there you're deciding how much it's worth to you, and that's great. I mean, thrift stores are amazing. There's so many good clothes in thrift stores. So if the cost of the clothes is the concern, then that's a great way to go about it. I don't know that somebody was saying that the person in the Q&A was saying it was a cost issue. It sounded more like a thought issue of if I buy these things, then I'll be thinking about it this way. And That's just not true. The clothes don't make you think something. We think something when we look at it. So, all right. You guys have been amazing tonight. Then next week, I will actually be on here and we'll be talking about drinking and nighttime eating. So, same time next Tuesday, I will be with you for that. And then next month, our calls are around the same time. I think the body image and sex call is around the 15th, something like that. And then the week after, again, I'll be doing the drinking and nighttime eating class. So I hope to see lots of you here next week. And otherwise, I will see you in the membership. And if anybody is interested in private coaching, that's where you get to talk to me one-on-one about any of these issues. Anything goes there, that's for sure. And you can check that out on the website. So it was great to see everybody. All right. Bye, everybody. Well, thank you, Christy. Christy says I'm a great private coach. So there you go. All right. Great to see everybody. Have a great night. Bye-bye.